All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry. I was a chief warrant officer, helicopter pilot in Vietnam in 1969. I want to welcome you to our program today. We're going to be talking about benefits and health care and everything else that has to do with the VA. So I want to encourage you, if you have any questions for our panel, to give us a call here at 734-822-1600, 734-822-1600. We've got a number of guests here. We've got Brian Hayes, who is the communications director at the Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We are waiting for Carol Ann Falzon to join us from Legal Help for Veterans. I've got Sandy Wilson, who is a member of the, well, she's a member, what do they call her? Member at large for the Vietnam Veterans of America. She's also the chairman of the committee that is working on Agent Orange and Toxic Exposure Committee. So we've got everybody here that can answer a lot of your questions. And again, I encourage you to give us a call if you can. Before we get to talk to everybody, though, I got to make sure we thank our sponsors. We can't do this every week without them. So starting off is with Legal Help for Veterans. They specialize in veterans' disability claims. Call Legal Help for Veterans at 800-693-4800. Or go to their website at legalhelpforveterans.com. The National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as NVBDC, is the nation's leading third-party authority for the certification of veteran-owned businesses. If you want to do business with the federal government, you got to be certified, especially as a veteran-owned business. So for more information, go to their website. That's nvbdc.org. Or give them a call at 888-237-8433. The Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center here in beautiful Ann Arbor, Michigan. For more information, you can go to va.gov/Ann Arbor Healthcare. The Vietnam Veterans of America. Never again will one generation of veterans abandon another. For more information, go to their website. That's vva.org. The Irwin Press Corps and American Post 46 and the Charles S. Kettles Vietnam Veterans of America Post 310, both here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. If you'd like to support Veterans Radio, please go to our website, veteransradio.org, and click on the donate button. Thanks in advance for you doing that. We greatly appreciate any support that you can give us. All right, so we're going to get into this thing right now. I've got one announcement for the week that's coming up in our local area, and this is the Vet Fest that is coming up on Saturday, August 3rd from 10 to 3 p.m., that is at the Washtenaw Community College. And I was noticing today I was swirling around the VA website, and there are Vet Fests all over the country going on. And so here's another suggestion for you folks. If you go to VVA, no, not VVA, I just did that one, va.gov, and, where it asks questions, if you get the little magnifying glass, put in Vet Fest in there, and there'll come up a whole list of all the different Vet Fests that are going on across the country. And the thing that got me interested in talking about the Vet Fest was that there's an article in there that talks about a veteran, a younger veteran, actually, who went to one of the Vet Fests and was talking to a veteran service officer or the VA that was there and found out that he, of course, was eligible for a whole lot of benefits that he didn't know about. So this is what these Vet Fests are for. So if you find one in your local area, go check it out. Not only do they have, veteran service officers or service officers from a lot of different organizations, they've got all kinds of businesses that got hiring people there. They got everything. So I encourage you to check that out. In our area, put it on your calendar, Saturday, August 3rd, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Washtenaw Community College. Right as you drive into the entrance of the college, you'll see the tents and everything there. So I encourage you to do that. And we'll be talking about this more as we get closer, because we're going to be there. So if you get a chance, come on out and say hi on Saturday, August 3rd. I would look forward to talking to you. All right. As many of you who have listened to our benefits program, we normally start off with the healthcare side of it. So I'm going to go right to Brian. So Brian Hayes, as I mentioned before, is a communications director for the Charles S. Kettles VA hospital here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So Brian, what's happening on the health side?
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me back. Hope you're all having a great rest of your weekend. I don't know about the rest of the country, but it's been beautiful here in Eastern Michigan for this entire weekend. You were talking about VetFest a minute ago, Dale, and we've got a couple local ones here. We have our Washtenaw County Community College VetFest coming up on August 3rd, which is coming up sooner than you think at the Washtenaw Community College on Huron River Drive. Great place, like you said, to go and just figure out, you know, what you're eligible for. You know, we send people to these events so that they can educate. And then we have another one coming up in Fowlerville, Michigan. That's the Vet Life Vet Fest. And that's a week later on August 10th. And interspersed in there are lots of other events, which you can find at annarbor.va.gov. And we also report our events up to the national website. So you can just go to va.gov, like Dale said, and type in events, and you'll find all kinds of great veteran events. Also, just wanted to talk about things going on as far as Ann Arbor goes. And the main thing is our, clinic that's coming open, Findlay, Ohio. Findlay is in the area that's attached to the Ann Arbor Medical Center. And we've got a brand new clinic coming online. We're still running on target for construction. So it should be right around the end of August that we should be able to open that. Hope to do a nice ribbon cutting coming up early August. I think we landed on August 4th for the big grand opening ribbon cutting for that. So that's going to be going on. We're really excited about that. It's right there on Melrose Avenue, very close to the freeway 75. You can get there very easy. 7,000 square foot clinic, serving Hancock and counties around in Ohio. Mental health, primary care, blood draw services. Hopefully, once we're fully operational, we'll be serving around 4,000 eligible veterans in that area, which will help them so they don't have to always drive up to Toledo every time they need a checkup or something right. like that.
Oh,
so,
that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, so that's going to be nice. That's a $2 million investment that we're putting into the renovations there. It used to actually be the Social Security building there in Findlay, but I guess we bought it from them and now it's ours. So that's where you can go for that. So lots of obviously great things going on there. And of course, the multitude of construction that's constantly going on in Ann Arbor as we continue to update and improve that facility. You know, if you've been to the Ann Arbor Medical Center lately, you know that our primary care area is being renovated to all brand new state-of-the-art exam rooms with new equipment and everything updated to so that they have the proper size room, because they should be a little bit bigger than they were. But that was based on, old parameters from a long time ago when the hospital was built. So, some of the stuff going on. A lot of new great things happening in Ann Arbor, as always. We're continually moving onward and upward.
Well, I like to think that's, the other VA hospitals across the country are doing the same or similar things as well, that they're upgrading and improving their services and so forth. I kind of look at all these little outreach clinics that you've got out there as kind of super urgent care places that people can go in and get, taken care of where they don't have to drive long distances. And then that's I think is really beneficial to some of the veterans in those areas.
That's why we've opened, four brand new clinics in the last 3 years all over, in Michigan and reaching down into Ohio, because we want to be where the veterans are, close, so that, when they need us, it won't require a whole lot of travel, because that can be quite a burden for some folks.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the VA has done a very good job. I mean, even with COVID shutting everything down and trying to make, making this comeback, but, not only do we have more opportunity to see our primary care physicians and clinics and specialties and all that in person, but there's still a lot of virtual, virtual sessions that we can have with our physicians and clinics and so on and so forth. So I think the VA is keeping ahead of the curve a little bit, I think, these days.
Well, and I don't mean to brag, but the VA often keeps ahead of the curve, right? But I guess they pay me to brag, right? That's my
job. Yeah, that's your job.
You know, I wanted to take a minute just to sell one thing, Dale, before you let me go. And you know, recently this mainly applies to the medical centers in Michigan, not so much in the other states where you're broadcasting. But you know, we just came online a few months ago with a new transportation navigation hub. And what that means, it's a one-stop shop for VA transportation needs throughout Michigan. That includes our reach into Ohio as well, the Toledo-Findlay area. And for all your VA transportation needs, and it's one number to call if you need a ride. And that number is 877-VET-LIFT. That's 838-5438. And that's open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. But you're going to want to book your ride. If you need a ride to the VA, you're going to want to book that 3 days in advance. Don't call us the day of, because we'll already have the route mapped out.
Right. But that's cool. So anywhere is just this just for the Ann Arbor VA, or are they trying to do this elsewhere?
This is mainly for the all of what we call the Michigan market. So the four medical centers of lower Michigan, Battle Creek, Ann Arbor, Saginaw, and Detroit, we've all teamed together as a group into a market so that we're you know, pooling resources, trying not to duplicate efforts, you know, because we're what, 30 miles away from the Detroit VA? Why would we all, you know? So, you know, putting all of that together. And so it's so far it's been just a great offering for the veterans in the area, especially throughout lower Michigan.
Well, I think that's cool, man.
You can read a lot more about that at our website. If you just go to annarbor.va.gov, I manage our website. So right at the top there, I put a banner ad so you can see, you know, you can go to the website and find the phone number and stuff. So annarbor.va.gov, that's the Ann Arbor VA's local website.
Okay. And for those people that don't use their computers a whole lot, you can dial 877-VET-LIFT. Make sure you call 3 days beforehand if you know you're trying to get an appointment, because, you know, it's not like an Uber, but it's pretty close, sounds like.
Yeah, it's not bad.
And it's free.
Exactly. Right?
That's the best part.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, you know, the other thing I just wanted to mention to people about the VA real quickly is that there are lots of there's a lot of money going into the VA right now, and the VA is awarding grants out there for a couple of things. And the two things that I found that I thought were really interesting to me was they're awarding $26.8 million in grants to support legal services for veterans experiencing or at risk of homelessness. And what this does is it gives funds legal services for home veterans and veterans at risk. It's a grant program. It's an increase of 37% over last year. And the program is enabled by the Johnny Isaacson and David Rowe MD Veterans Health Care and Benefits Improvement Act. And so what happens is that this money is going out to help veterans with legal problems and people being exposed to homelessness or eviction or any of those types of things. And there's what you can do is you can visit online. It says you can visit the legal services for veterans. And also you can email to lsv@va.gov. And there'll be somebody there that hopefully can help you. You can also go to the National Call Center, and let me give you this number. Slowly. So if you know some homeless vets that's running into difficulties, they can call 877-424-3838. 877-424-3838. It's just the acronym here is 877-4, the number 4, aid-vet. So, and you can visit the VA Homeless Program's website to learn more about this. I thought that was kind of interesting that there is money that's coming to help veterans across the board. The last one was, it's sort of a late birthday, I guess you can call it, that the original GI Bill of Rights can be traced back to June 22nd, 1944. And that's when President Roosevelt signed the Servicemen's Readjustment Act. This, in the quote from President Roosevelt, This generation has a rendezvous with destiny. I think the guy was a great speaker, you know. More than 16 million veterans served in World War II and nearly 300,000 died in battle. Many were returning home to uncertain futures, it says. But these veterans had determined allies. Harry Colmery was a World War I veteran and a former national commander of the American Legion and a former Republican national chairman. He and the committee of Legionnaires he had led had a plan, a law that would assist new veterans in their transition. There's that word, everybody. That transition from military service. So he wrote the original language of the bill that would eventually be sponsored by U.S. Representative Edith Norris Rogers, Republican Massachusetts, who eventually chaired the House Committee on Veterans Affairs. The Servicemen's Readjustment Act provided World War II veterans funds for college, unemployment insurance, and housing benefits. It says by the end of World War II, the World War II era, 1956, roughly 8 million out of 16 million World War II veterans had used their GI Bill for some sort of training. That's awesome, I think. And so I encourage everybody out there, you can't see what I'm holding up, but check out the benefits that you're entitled to. We keep telling you every month, every week, ask questions. You don't know what's all out there. We all, you know, we've got some people here that know more, much more than I do. But, you know, check with your VSOs, check with your local county VSOs, and ask for help. Go into your VA hospital. There are VSOs in the lobby of every single VA hospital in the country. You're entitled to a lot of things that you earn for, you know, you put your life on the line for this great country, and you're entitled. So we want you to do that. Anyway, so I'll get off the soapbox right now. So Brian, thanks very much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. See you next month.
Okay. Stay safe. Enjoy the weather, as you pointed out, how beautiful it is today. Okay. So we're going to do our quick transition here into the benefits side of the story and talk about some of the things that have been going on. And joining me is our expert of experts from Legal Help for Veterans. And this is our Air Force retired Brigadier General and nurse, Carol Ann Falzone. Carol Ann, welcome back.
Thanks, Dale. Great to be back.
It's good to have you back. I was afraid we're going to lose you today.
Oh, no, I was just having some trouble getting in on that computer on that line, but I figured out a way.
Well, you know, that's what we do. Also joining us today is a good friend of mine, is an Army retired Lieutenant Colonel Nurse, Sandy Wilson. She is currently a director at large in the VA, and she serves as the chair of the Vietnam Veterans of America's National Agent Orange and Toxic Exposure Committee. So, Sandy, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have both you here. I got the women who are here to save the world, as we like to say.
Well, and, we can try.
I know.
Hey, both Sandy, great to have you.
Okay.
I know that you two have both been active in, you know, trying to get benefits for veterans probably ever since you were in the service, right from day one. So, Carol Ann, is there anything else? Is there anything that is going on in the world of veterans benefits that we need to be aware of?
Yeah, there's a couple really great things. But let me just talk about one thing, because it's kind of, two things that are kind of connected on the VHA side. Brian just left us, and that's the hospital that administers the healthcare side. The first one is a clothing issue. So, for our veterans who have orthopedic issues and who have potentially skin issues, there is a clothing benefit that every year you have to apply for. So if you have, an orthopedic appliance and or a skin issue that you maybe have ointments, and you might be entitled to a clothing benefit. And this is a benefit that traditionally in the past you have to apply for every single year for. It's almost like travel used to apply. You have to apply for every year and put in all the paperwork. Well, the VA has come back and said, you know what? If you have that same orthopedic issue and you have the same skin issue, you don't have to apply for it anymore. We're going to give you the clothing benefit allowance, whether it's a couple hundred dollars for the whole year. Now, if you have a brand new orthopedic benefit, you should ask your primary care physician about the clothing allowance. And so that's something new that has just come about. If you stop getting the clothing allowance, please reach out to your team at the VA and say, hey, how come my clothing allowance has stopped? Mm-hmm. And so it could be reinstituted. So that's something new. We used to have to put in for it. We would automatically put in for your paperwork with our clients, but no more do we have to do that. It's going to be an automatic every year after every year. So I think that's one little paperwork issue we don't have to worry about anymore. So
I didn't even know there was a clothing allowance for that. That's cool.
Yes.
That's
really cool. But it's only with certain disabilities.
No, I understand that. Sure. I'm not going to go in there and try and get something.
Sure. So that's one thing. Another thing, really on the healthcare side, is we've been hearing a lot. It's the number one viewer, on our podcast that we do is the caregivers. We've been hearing a lot and we talk about it on the benefit side. So the caregivers benefit has been having a high rate of denials. And I will tell our veterans, with your caregivers, go through your team at the VA. When you're initially going in for it, go back to your providers. Let your providers know that you need assistance with your caregivers. Go through your social worker team, whatever color team you are, start there initially. Don't do the paperwork all by yourself. Get the approval through your teams so that it starts at the grassroots level. It could be approved at the local level instead of starting and sending all your paperwork in at the national level. So it'll be denied, and then it's harder to work from the top and work your way down. Start at the grassroots level. Work with your team. The other thing that is a good announcement, it just recently came out. I think you and I talked about it. The VA has designated three brand new approvals, presumptives with the PAC Act. And I think this is pretty amazing. A urethral cancer has been approved, a paraurethral gland, and also male breast cancer has been approved. Believe it or not, we know some individuals who through the PAC Act, Afghanistan, Iraq, males could get breast cancer. And I know that surprises a lot of people. Those are rare cancers and they have recently been approved in the PAC Act. So I think that's huge.
That is very huge. That is, I think that's really a lot of good information there. Thank you, Carol Ann. You know, we're talking here with Carol Ann Falzone from Legal Help for Veterans. We were just mentioning before we went on the air of the Camp Lejeune thing. I guess this is kind of an update. The Camp Lejeune thing has a deadline coming up. And that is August 10th. Did I write that? Yeah, August 10th. So we wanted to make sure that we have people aware out there that if you, you know, were at Camp Lejeune, and I'm going to bring Sandy in for this real quickly because you mentioned that you had an incident where the soldier or the Marine who had been assigned there, his daughter ended up having some issues.
Mm-hmm.
And how did that turn out?
Well, you know, I think what happened there was he did not think that they were eligible for anything, any benefits or anything like that, because she was not born when he was at Camp Lejeune. But the Camp Lejeune thing actually states that you either had to live there or you were born to someone who did live there during that period. So it took me about 10 minutes to convince him to file for her, but he did file, and we're waiting for a result on that one.
Okay. So can you kind of remind our audience, Carol Ann has something to say.
Yeah, and Sandy, that was great advice because, as you well know, Dale, we've had Mike Cox on the radio. Mike has been handling a lot of those cases. We just had one that we referred that was a next generation, and that has come back, and they are following that. And it might be that that young lady, an offspring, might be also that they are representing. And they have just announced that male breast cancer is also going to be associated with tainted water at Camp Lejeune. Yes. And then the offsprings also in the next generation are going to be looked at. And so, Sandy, that was great advice for that family because that should be followed up and referred to because there might be some monies, and in that litigation, that family could also benefit from.
Well, I think you have to look at the factor that if him being exposed resulted in a health problem for his offspring, did it change the hereditary conditions so that is also going to be eligible or be an effect on her children?
Yeah.
I know I have been doing town hall meetings on toxic exposure for, God, 7 years now. No, it's been longer than that. But I know that I had this one veteran that came to me in West Virginia, and he said he had 8 children, and all 8 of them had medical issues that were not the same, and he thought it was because of his toxic exposure. And when he told me what conditions that they had, yes, they probably were from the toxic exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep fighting that.
And I want to make sure that our audience understands that Sandy Wilson has been involved with Agent Orange issues probably since we got home from Vietnam, and that she has an article that she's written in the local or in the last edition of the Veteran Magazine, which is the official magazine of the Vietnam Veterans of America. And you have talked at meetings I've gone to where you've talked about that we should register our children.
Oh,
any
yes.
Any of us who have been in Vietnam should register with our children and even our grandchildren, probably. I forget for what exactly. What was it? Where
well,
that has to go to?
Part of the litigation for Agent Orange, Judge Weinstein decided that we really needed to have a birth defects registry, but the government could not afford that. So veterans organizations and the Agent Orange commissions in different states supported doing this. And the person that they did it had some experience with it. And what they did is they got together about 9 medical researchers who helped develop a form, a questionnaire to fill out to be on the registry. And we certainly encourage everyone who has a child with a medical issue, a long-standing medical issue, to get them registered. Now, there are 4 different sections to this registry. The first one is for children of veterans who served in country Vietnam. Then there's another group of Vietnam-era veterans that did not go to Vietnam. And then you have the recent Gulf War veterans, and then the general public. And the secretary of the VA said he could not do any studies on the children of veterans because there was no national registry. Well, there used to be 41 states back in the 80s with birth defects registries, but there's only 10 states that still have them. And I'm not sure of the exact reason why they canceled them, but in 1994, there became a federal regulation that that each birth defected child has to be registered. So when the pediatrician checks the kid at birth and he notices any defect, it ends up that he has to put it on the birth certificate. So people who thought they could hide their child's birth defect since 94 have not been able to do that. But the problem with that is at that point, you can pick up structural defects. But functional defects like diabetes, learning disabilities, and things like that develop later. And they will not, you know, what do you do to add to the birth certificate after it's already printed and sent out? You know, you just don't pick those up. So, you know, the registry can be accessed, and, you know, you can file on by going on the internet to birthdefects.org. And that puts you right into registering for this. You know, people say, well, why would somebody who's not a veteran do it? Well, I can tell you this. It was 7 years ago that the operator of the registry went to the Academy of Science and said, looking at, we think you need it. She said, you know, the kids have problems, but I don't believe it's related to vaccines. Autism, when I look at the people who registered for that, there's a high percentage of people who reported that they took Tylenol during the pregnancy for pain. And those are the people who report that their kid has autism. So for 6 years, nothing was said, but it came out just last year that Tylenol taken during pregnancy is related to autism. So as you know, there was a benefit for people that are disabled with autism, or should I say that for women who plan on having kids not to do it, and then our autism rate should go down. But, you know, that's very important that everybody go on the internet and go to birthdefects.org and put down whatever disease that their child has.
Well, I think that, you know, when you start looking at statistics and you start seeing that there's this number of children that are born that have this issue, and then you go back and you find out that, you know, whether it's the Tylenol or because their parents have been exposed to toxics wherever they were stationed and so forth, it can only help.
Well, you know, a registry is not the most definitive medical research situation, but it's certainly the cheapest way to start looking at what you should be looking at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that was, you know, a very wonderful thing. My problem with it is it hasn't been announced enough. I mean, it was on the evening news 2 evenings, but have we really reached out to the people of childbearing age to let them know? The other thing that, you know, concerns me is we spent a long time and for a while, they encouraged people who had a child with spina bifida to file a claim. And many of the veterans organizations, service officers refused to do that because they say it clogged up the system. Well, we worked with the VA, and that forum has changed. Now they are accepting any long-term illness that is considered to be a possibility of being congenital. People need to file a claim. Not that the claim is going to be approved, but If enough of the claims go in, that's an alert that that's research that needs to be done by the VA to determine if this could be from toxic exposure of the parent. And the VA does keep those and encourages people to do that.
Well, I this is the reason that we do this program. This is all, this is to try and keep our audience as informed as we can. And we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with our guests, General Caroline Falzone and Lieutenant Colonel Sandy Wilson, better known as nurses to the world, to talk about some of the other issues that that are springing up around our veterans' conditions that they from their exposures. It's not just bullets and things that are wounding our veterans and their families. It's other things that we are exposed to. So you're listening to Veterans Radio, and we'll be right back after our Medal of Honor segment now.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Lieutenant Edward Isaac escaped twice from the Germans during World War I. Details after this.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Isaac was captured and held as a prisoner on board the German submarine U-90 when the USS President Lincoln was attacked and sunk. Upon the return of the submarine to Germany, he was confined in a prison camp. During his stay on the U-90, he obtained information of the movements of German submarines, which was so important that he determined to escape with a view to making this information available to the U.S. and Allied naval authorities. In attempting to carry out this plan, he jumped through the window of a rapidly moving train at the imminent risk of death, not only from the nature of the act itself, but from the fire of the armed German soldiers who were guarding him. Having been recaptured and reconfined, Lieutenant Isaac made a second successful attempt to escape, breaking his way through barbed wire fences and deliberately drawing the fire of the armed guards in the hope of permitting others to escape during the confusion. He made his way through the mountains of southwestern Germany, having only raw vegetables for food, and at the end, swam the Rhine River during the night in the immediate vicinity of German sentries to reach Allied forces.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help, but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. We can all help someone going through a difficult time. Learn how you can be there for veterans. Visit veteranscrisisline.net. Veteranscrisisline.net. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
We're back here on Veterans Radio. Our guests today are Air Force retired Brigadier General Caroline Falzone from Legal Help for Veterans and our Army retired Lieutenant Colonel Nurse Sandy Wilson, who is very active in the exposures to toxins and Agent Orange. And one of the things that Sandy is very involved in is the veterans' offspring. And your article in the Veteran Magazine that I've got in front of me as I'm reading it is that it looks like there's some people that want to do that, but they're having difficulty finding the money.
I don't want to talk about research money because the amount of money they charge to do research is ridiculous. Many of the universities that have researchers there, they add 80% to the cost of doing that research to put money in their general fund, and every time I read a research report, the last words in it is more research is needed. So I just, I've asked the researchers at the universities around, when do you not say more research is needed? When can we come out with a definite answer? But I want to talk to you about research. and children, veterans' children. We spent 8 years convincing Congress to pass a law which would require the government to do research for toxic consequences of children of veterans. And President Obama signed that on his way out the door, which was like 8 years ago. Nothing has been done. And even the sponsors of the bill could not get the VA to respond. So Senator Tester last November had a hearing on this, and the VA, I think they were the bean counters, came over, and they said they were not going to do that research because if they found anything, they believe they would be responsible for providing health care and possibly benefits. And they were to be the managers to get this done and hire the researchers and things. So Senator Tester in that group said that that was against the law, but the VA could probably delay another 8 to 12 years. So therefore, they have more legislation in it, which is the same legislation which would cover the offspring of any veteran. But instead of the VA being the managers of it, they're putting it into Health and Human Services. And we're, you know, we had the first bill had a representative from the UP was one of the major introducers. Now we have Debbie Dingell. It has introduced that legislation, and we're certainly looking for public support. And I don't know how you all was raised, but I was raised with the idea if I screwed up, I was responsible for the effects of that and to make the changes. And I sort of consider my government as also responsible for what they've done. And, you know, how many children do we have that have different major problems and what effect that has on those families? And so, therefore, I think this is important things to be done. And I must say, being a nurse, the things that have been advanced in medicine over the last 5 or 6 years astounds me. If I had to go back to work, they'd have to retrain me. But I think there's hope. But, you know, where do you put the emphasis to get hope and help for our citizens?
Sandy, what you just said, but I think that's the difference between Vietnam and what's been done with Camp Lejeune, because they did it and they handled it in a class action lawsuit. And those in that law, those offsprings are being taken care of because of the class action lawsuit. And they've done the research and those offsprings will be taken care of. And that's the sad thing, responsibility, but it's a class action lawsuit. And there lies the difference. And it's almost the same issues. It's chemicals. It's the fault of whether it's water, it's burn pits, it's chemicals, it's actions that have occurred, that has resulted in our children, our veterans being injured. There's more coming about. And I think what you said is really sad because it all comes down to money. If they put this in action, somebody has to pay back. And, you know, they don't want to do that. And isn't that very sad for our men and women who gave their lives and went and served our country without, you know, they went away, they served our country without saying, how much am I going to get paid? And now this is what's happening.
Well, I think it's more than that. First thing, before you have any litigation here, you have to have the research. And, you know, I think there's several things that have happened. Our organization has a group that has met with the VA and the Air Force and researchers for the past, it started before COVID hit. And we're going to have a seminar to discuss what needs to be done. Like, we have never trusted the ranch hand study. And one of the comments from the VA during this meeting was, well, we have the data for you. I just cleaned it up. Well, I don't know what cleanup means to you, but cleanup to me means you sort of eliminate anything that you don't want us to know.
Right, right.
Okay? But they don't know that we have the original data. So they can clean up all they want. But anyway, we're going to meet next month and try and figure out what still needs to be done to make the ranch hand study something that's very feasible.
And
the other thing I want to talk about is...
Hold on, Sandy. Hold on. We do have a call coming in. So I want to get to that call before we run out of time today. So Matt from Rochester Hills is on the phone. What's your question, Matt? Welcome.
Hi. I'm a 60% disabled veteran. I have a service animal, and I work as an auditor for a top six accounting firm. Worked. Monday, I was released, and I believe that it was in violation of ADA. I am, you know, like I said, 60% service connected, and obviously, you know, I have a service animal, so it's kind of like it telegraphs that there's, you know, I have a disability. But at the same time, this past year, I've had some issues in my life that kind of pushed me into a deep depression. It did affect my work somewhat, but not excessively. And I was unceremoniously laid off this past Monday, just before the holiday, given 2 weeks severance. And I was very open with my employer about my depression and things like that. And then they tried to pretend that it didn't have anything to do with that. But the issue is that I had three or four people beneath me that started after I did. So I had seniority over them, and I had seniority over all the other seniors on my team. And I believe that one of my managers fell on her sword and resigned because she stood up for me. And it's just like the way it all went down. It's, you know, it's severely affected me, at least to this point now. I don't even know where to start.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have any lawyers here that can probably help you out. But I don't think that there's, well, I don't know, Carolyn, is there anything that that you could recommend?
Well, what I would say, Matt, is number one, thank you for your service. I'm very sorry that happened to you. If you would please give the station or Dale your phone number, I would love to talk to you tomorrow offline, and maybe we could get your number and refer you at Legal Help for Veterans, where we could maybe talk about that with Jim.
That would be appreciated, because right now I don't even know what to do. I'm like 5 weeks away from like having a financial catastrophe, because I had saved up some PTO, which they're returning. I have my 401k, which I don't want to cash in, but if I have to, I have that I can fall back on and pay the penalties and whatever if need be. But there isn't much else beyond that. So I'm kind of in a pickle.
Okay. Matt, can you give your number to Derek at the radio station? And then we'll follow, you know, he'll put that in our little chat, and we'll get your phone number. And then Carol Ann, I'm sure somebody from Legal Help for Veterans will give you a call tomorrow.
Okay, I did send a message on the page for Legal Help for Veterans, so hopefully they get that. But I will give Derek my information as well. Thank you.
Okay, Thank you very much, Matt. Thank you. Good luck, and then we'll see what we can do. All right, we've only got 4 minutes left. That's so we kind of run into the clock again as usual. And Sandy, you had one more thing you wanted to bring up. Can you fit that into 3 minutes?
Sure. The PAC Act. It wasn't written to be complete. It's sort of like we gradually grow into it. Well, there's several areas in the country. There's 14 bases in the country that they say does not have any toxic contamination in it that do. And so we've been fighting that. We've been fighting the factor Fort McClellan, which was the base camp for all enlisted Army females, they say is not contaminated. It is. And there's several places overseas that they do not have listed that we do have people that were exposed and have filed, and they cannot get any compensation of any kind because it's not on the toxic list. So I think we have to be alert and work and tell our congressmen and everybody that the job is not done.
I totally agree, and this is something that we do have to do. So I'm encouraging our listeners out there to contact your congressmen, your senators, and let them know that that they're not necessarily getting all the correct information, and that we need to continue this onward. Because I also saw an article, and this is just real quick, that they're getting a little bit nervous about the amount of funding that's the PACT Act is costing, and they're thinking of scaling that back. So we can't allow that. So it's up to us. It's up to all veterans. It's up to all these different organizations that we all belong to keep the pressure on. That's the only thing they can do, that they get afraid of is that, we'll take our block of votes and go somewhere else. And so we can't allow that to happen. I want to thank both of you very much. I'm sorry we only have an hour. So Sandy, keep your little checklist going. We'll have you back at the end of, at the beginning of August. And that's when our first Sundays of all of our meetings is our first Sunday is always our benefits program. So I know you're off to do a presentation on toxic exposure and so forth. And I want to thank you very much for being on our program.
I won't be here in August.
All right. Well, we'll catch you later in the year.
Okay.
Thank you, Sandy, very much. Sandy Wilson, veteran advocate personified. General Falzone, thank you so much for being on the program. It's always such a, such a service that you and people like you and Sandy and the rest of the veteran service officers out there and advocates that provide to keep us veterans protected. And, to help us in the long run. I see that Matt's phone number is in the thing there. So we've got to go. I got 5 seconds to say goodbye. You're listening to Veterans Radio. You're dismissed. You're going to love this music.
God bless America. Land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. Oh, God. set His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. The prairies to the oceans white with foam.